The following show is intended for a mature audience.
But it's really funny.
So, if you're underage...
Go to bed.
Easily offended...
Get over yourself.
Or just got a gigantic stick up
your... Hey,
Okay. You all might want to go do some needlepoint or something.
It's the Jethro Silverwing Show on online gaming radio.
It's time to kick your feet up, tune in and waste some time. It's time to waste 2 hours, Jethro Show tonight.
Hey there, dwarf!
Hey, Jesus!
It's like a tragic tale, all the crazy things he makes us do.
I'm just glad I got my ale. To use it.
Well, it's time to get it started on the most sensational, entertaining,
merchantable, perfect, whimsical. This is what we call Jethro Silverwing Show.
Oh, we're gonna get sued by the ghost of Jim Henson. I know it.
Good evening, everyone. This is the Jethro Silverwing Show for Tuesday, April 28th, 2009. With me, as always, my love, my main squeeze, the girl downstairs, and my wife, is Alquin Jenna!
Hail and greetings.
How's it going, Alquin?
It's going good.
Oh, yeah? Going good, are you?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on this week?
Lots of things.
Lots of things.
Depends which thing you want to talk about first. You
things.
Want to talk about swine flu?
Nah, I don't want to talk about swine. Let me tell you what I think about the swine flu thing that's going around right now. Okay, it's a swine flu and it's bad and stuff like that, but people got to stop crying pandemic, as far as I'm concerned. Yes, there is reason to take caution, as there is in any influenza epidemic that breaks out. But the more people cry pandemic, like with this avian flu a few years ago, if you cry too much, no one's going to believe you when it really happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So, don't mention pandemic unless it happens. Because they're going to keep doing it every year, and eventually people are just going, yeah, whatever, and then stop taking precautions, and then it's going to happen. It'll become a self-fulfilling prophecy on that end. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, knock it the hell off.
That and people need to quit having relations with pigs.
Exactly. Damn pig fuckers. Oh, did I say that?
Yes.
Oh.
Win-win would be proud of you.
Oh.
I forgot who posted that picture on Facebook today. It was either Nick or Spiderbite of this kid licking... This little kid licking... the nose of a pig through a fence, and it was like,
ew. Yeah, that's...
I don't know why. That one just sort of... Ew. Don't do that, little girl. Don't lick that pig nose. Go!
That's bad. That's very bad. Before we get started here, I'd just like to let everyone know that the Outriders of... Oh, crap. What is it? Outriders of Phaedra?
Outriders of Kelothan.
Outriders of Kelothan, brand new guild, but they have ding level 30. So congratulations to Skyheart, Skyanna, and the Outriders of Kelothan. So here's your guild ding, as soon as I find it here. The hell did I put the guild in? There it is. There we go, guild ding. Congratulations. Okay, as you guys heard, when I just before the show started, we played the theme to Maude, the 70s sitcom starring Bea Arthur, who has died in the last week. So we wish her family well, and we lost another great, funny person. I loved Bea Arthur. She was great.
She was one heck of a lady.
One hell of a sense of humor, too.
Uh-huh. I mean, love their humor.
I mean, God, the Comedy Central, you know, every time they have a celebrity roast, they just ragging on Bea Arthur so much because, you know, she wasn't exactly a feminine lady at all.
No.
You know, she was rather masculine and, you know, definitely had a way about her. And they love picking on her. Who do they got left to pick on now?
William Shatner.
Oh, definitely William Shatner. With his Priceline.com.
Oh, he's got a show, too.
Oh, that's right. William Shatner's Raw Nerve. I have not seen that. I understand it's pretty funny, though. Well, I suppose they have Abe Vigoda.
Is he still alive?
He is alive, actually. And
what?
You can actually go to AbeVigoda.com, which is a site which is completely dedicated to a status on Abe Vigoda's alive or death.
Are you serious?
I'm completely serious. You can go to AbeVigoda.com, and there is a thing. As of, so what we got here. As of April 28th, 2009, 7 p.m., Abe Vigoda is alive.
God, somebody must have started that because they had a conversation just like we did. Is Abe Vigoda still alive? God, I don't know. Is he? How do we check?
You know, he's not as old as people think he is. I mean, he looks horribly old.
Well,
I mean, even back when he was on the Barney Miller show, he looked terribly old back then. But he was only 50 when he did that.
It still seems like such a long time ago.
Well, it is
that show was on.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is technically a long time ago. I mean, the Barney Miller show was almost older than me. And as everyone knows, I'm terribly old.
No, you're not.
I'm old and I'll shake my cane. Get off my lawn, you crazy kids.
You're not old.
I'm not?
No.
You're only as old as you feel, hon, and I should have died years ago.
Hey!
And if you don't feel that old, then more power to you.
If you died a long time ago, then I'd be having a corpse in my bed, and that's not good.
I said I should have died years ago.
I'm not a necromancer!
Alright. Would you like to introduce our guest this week? You know more about him than I do, unfortunately.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
I can do a good intro here.
Let me give you a drum roll.
A drum roll? I get a drum roll?
Okay,
there's not very many leaders out there who are willing to gather up people in a pickup group and go after the harder mobs, but this guy has done so and is doing so on a constant basis on the Antonio Bale server. I'd like to introduce you guys to Leonardo, who has been spearheading a group called For the People, which
Woo!
You can find on the internet, For the People. Hang on a second. For the people.guildlaunch.com. So there you go. So,
welcome to the show, Leonardo.
Thank you, guys.
How you feel?
I feel very welcomed, and I feel very good. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, you're very welcome. So, you did a successful pickup raid of Venril, is that correct?
That is correct. And since that time, we've actually cleared VP twice now.
Ah. And how come Jenna still hasn't had her epic?
Well, she has her epic, but not her mythical.
Oh, I see.
And it's, unfortunately, sometimes, depending on how the raid setup I'm going with, I can go heavy on certain classes, but if not, I really had to go for the guaranteed raid success, and just had to give better luck for the next time I go through. And unfortunately, sometimes when I get LDs during the fight, and I have to get those individuals through again.
Yeah.
So it's become a 24/7 daily basis with me trying to get individuals there mythical, but it is for the people. I'm trying to get people that go through MMOs that don't ever get to see the end zone, and I was one of those people in EverQuest 1 that never got to see the end zone, and I was like, you know, I want my mythical, I want to do it and get it for the people also. They people will follow those who want to go towards a successful goal. If the interests are common, then people will come.
And it's really critical sometimes on the makeup of a group, of the rate, if you're going to actually do it or not. There's just some classes you have to have or it's not going to work.
Right.
Am I wrong?
That is absolutely correct.
You're certainly not going to do any kind of a raid without any healers, that's for sure.
No, I'm not going to not do that. And a lot of them I do trial and errors to see where my borderline is for the raids. And certain mobs I can do that, and certain mobs I can't, where you have to have this setup or it's going to fail.
But you've been having a lot of successes. I mean, if anybody goes to your website, see if I can flip over there quickly. You've got a listing of how many times you've done the Executional Throne Room once, and it was success, third success, Protector Realm, 7 times success, Temple of Korsha, I know I'm saying it wrong. That's 4 times for you. VS1, Chamber of Destiny 1, 12 times through VP. Shard of Hate, you've got a 4 to 6.
Those are the name mobs in there that I have taken down. So,
okay.
Paw Buster, Executioner Throne, I've actually done several times already. And Leviathan.
Okay, so in VP, you say you've taken down all 12 mobs.
Yes.
That's cool.
And I run the Leviathan on a daily basis. A lot of raids I run on a daily basis. Now, VP, I try to clear Wing 1 and 2 on the weekend, and then next Friday clear that, and then start back over on Saturday.
Yeah. I've seen you run through several different of the instances, and you guys are just plowing through them.
Yeah, and especially with sometimes I get a lot of individuals that are very competent at their class, and it helps very much. And unless we need to stop, and I have to restate the strategy, and don't get me wrong, it gets frustrated sometimes, and it gets very difficult. But I have to maintain the confidence, and hopefully the luck of just how the mobs play out. Sometimes that plays a factor. Avoid missing, blocking, critical hits, and critical healing and whatnot can adversely affect the success of the mob.
Which one of the instances would you say is the worst one to get through?
VS.
Yeah.
When I took down VS for the first time, I was with Stealth Mode and his gang. And his instance trying, and I did one night of 7 hours trying to get VS down, and
wow.
We didn't do it. I dedicated that pretty much the rest of that week to downing VS, and I couldn't get it. And Stealth Mode wasn't at the time, but I started my own VS raid and my own instance, got him down, and on the 6th or 7th pull, I downed VS. VS is a very, very important raid that you need to pay attention to your mana and your detrimental spells.
You've got to watch yourself to make sure you're not casted on. And if you do, you just stop what you're doing. There's a spell that he casts on you. You turn blue or glow blue.
Correct. Mana Sacrifice. It's an ability that he casts on from several experiences. He can cast it on 2 individuals or more. You glow blue, and it lasts for 10 to 12 seconds, and if you cast this spell while you have it, it consumes 221% mana, and you lose 1 to 2% mana per tick. So it's very vital for enchanters once they find out who has mana sacrifice to get mana flow onto those individuals.
Right.
Because how VS works, if you go over 67%, you die. If you go under 25%, you spawn an egg, which will majority of times wipe the raid.
Man.
And sometimes I get individuals... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Sometimes I get individuals who like to go below the recommended mana range, and it's not a DPS fight. It's a fight where you need to just maintain and just have time to burn embalmment, the time burn embalmment with the auto attacks, or if you are over the set recommendation, then burn down to that percent. And especially for the main tank, has pretty much one of the hardest responsibilities is for me, because his ability that has a knockback, that if he knocks me back, he has a chance to deal 20% mana blow of mana drain on me, and it's hard with doing that.
If he hits you with that, and then if they can't replace your mana on the tank fast enough, then you wipe.
That is correct.
I've been to one VS raid, and I was scared to death that I was going to be the one that was going to screw up everything, because I am never very good at these. You got to watch, you know, your percentage. You got to stay healthy at this certain percent. But actually, I was surprised. I did very good. I never screwed up. It was other factors that were going on that. You know, it only takes one little mistake, you know, somebody not quite watching their mana, or the tank gets hit and sucked, his mana sucked out and not replaced fast enough to wipe out, and we did not succeed, of course, but at least I feel better about going on my next one whenever that's going to be. I don't feel so nervous.
And the major frustration that comes down is when you see VS that's below 20%, then people start, like, losing their minds, and like, all right, they think, well, like, I'm a very strict individual on directions and paying attention to instructions that are called out during the raid, and sometimes people just don't wish to listen and they go all out.
Well, yeah, because you see the mob down that low, and
you can't.
Yeah, and your fighting instinct pops in. It's like, kill him, get him dead. Yeah. And
no,
that
you can't.
And you just can't do that on that kind of a run, unfortunately. And somewhere the development team is just wringing their hands and giggling evilly.
When I downed him, my heart was racing. Once we got him under 20% for that kill, no one spoke. Everyone just paid attention to what was
instructed
at first. Exactly. When we all declared he was down in the kills, like, I did spam three times the HS, and I still can't believe I got reported for that.
For spamming?
I said holy crap, but holy
there's
shite.
Nothing wrong with that.
But I said it three times, and I got reported, and I got spoke to by a GM.
Oh, jeez.
And she understood that it was due to excitement and stuff, and looking at the log, she's just, you can't do that, she said. So I was like,
yeah. Oh, well.
But I'm looking forward to now. My next major kill for a pickup raid is one continuing with the Venus up there to get those Rangers, Conjurers, Monks, Furies, any other classes that I missed, their mythical updates on there. I know it's a pain in the ass for them. But the next pickup raid I'm looking for is Trakon. And going through, that's what I'm trying to get people through VP. Also wanting to get their mythical updates while also getting people track access to it. And I've gotten several of my core raiders that continue their promise that they made to me to help out individuals and believe what I stand for. To pull through, and hopefully we can be the first individuals to knock down Trakon. I don't know if it's worldwide for EverQuest, but hopefully for Antonio Bell, I know it'll be the first once Trakon goes down for a pickup raid.
Yeah.
But why think small? Why don't you go for the big kahuna? I want someone to take out Naugafin. Come on, he only hits for, you know, double what anyone could possibly have for hit points in one shot.
Jeez.
I mean, all you'd have to do is start healing 3 minutes before you actually get to the zone.
Naugafin was down and killed back in when Desert Flame or EOF when he was bugged.
Yeah, I remember hearing something about that. I forgot how he was bugged, though.
Apparently he was bugged so people could kill him.
Yes.
That would be my guess.
And I get a lot of tells and concerns of when am I going to do TSO, and when I feel confident that I can take it to TSO, because when I do move to TSO, it's like I need to make sure the individuals are properly equipped. I mean, I've made rules now enforcing it due to some prior really bad pickup raids that made it difficult due to the language barrier and those specific roles.
I don't think it's out of the question to ask these people to be able to read and write English.
Well, it needs for that role. If I specifically give Leviathan's a really hard one, where that's another mob that you need to pay attention on for the spell reflect, and if the individual can't understand when that spell reflect is up, that's what made me make those rules, was due to Leviathan. I had non-speaking English individuals, and they were still nuking while spell reflect was up, and just killing my main tank at that time, because I was, unfortunately, I had the only orb, so I had to click the orb when he got down to 15%.
Sounds like you need a few more orbs. Or people with orbs.
And that's I don't mind not main tanking it. It's fun. It makes it easier for the raid, because one paladin can heal, ward, and do all that stuff. But they also, when I decide to get my alts up and get them up there, I need to have a competent tank also to take over for myself. And I got one of the individuals. I know this is going to sound weird, and people will be like, "What the hell, Leo?" But Talithion, I'm training Talithion. And he's coming up, and he's still got that problem sometimes, but I'm cracking him down on that. And another individual that's accompanying is pretty much as a main off-tank in my raids is Sidlock. Sidlock is a damn well good guardian that knows his job very well, and you can't test a mob or their tanking abilities more than on Nexona. Every time I see him tanking, off tanking Nexona, he has no problem pulling that aggro off and letting the DPS roll through on the ad while he keeps it. Most tanks for that mob is usually a Berserker, SK, or a Guardian. Since it's really hard for a Paladin to maintain that aggro on due to the Memoid, but a Guardian can pick it right up. Same with the SK and Berserker.
Yeah, they have better taunts, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Now, you said you played EverQuest. What server did you play on back then?
I played on Fenin Row.
Yay!
I was the same name, Leonardo Holyman, and I was a Paladin also. I played from April 12th of 1999 till the release of EverQuest 2 October in Omens of War.
Oh my god, you were playing when I was guiding there.
Yes, I was.
Sylvan Rangers, you remember that group?
Yes, very much so.
Were you in that group, or did you just know of them?
I knew of them. I knew of a lot. I had a lot of connections due to my infamous name I had when I first started. I was 13 when I first started EverQuest 1, and not to make it sound weird, but I was pretty much like Talithion in my EverQuest 1 days. And as I pretty much nexed myself from any guilds, and as I grew older and defined myself as becoming a man and more mature, I was able to get into raids and into guilds.
I just remember Sylvan Rangers was one of the uber guilds on the server that was always causing problems for other upcoming raiding guilds there.
Yes. Sylvan Rangers, you had the Mystical Order TMO. Crap, there's a lot of good ones. You had the Foresters, what was the forest between West Commonlands and Rivervale? That forest, there was a guild, good raiding guild after named after
Kithacorn.
Yes.
How dare you come on my show and not know the name of Kithacorn?
it's mind laughs.
That's all right. We'll forgive you this time.
No, I just remember the Sylvan Rangers because I had to go to the sleeper instance because there was another raiding guild in there and the Sylvan Rangers had come in and was jumping over them after they'd cleared. So one of the few things of a guide that I had to do back then. But I always remember them because every time I turned around, I had some petition about the Sylvan Rangers doing this, that, or the other.
I hated going into Kithacor Forest, especially when it was for the Ragebringer epic update for rogues.
Oh, yeah.
Pulling that, their whole, the mob for the mythical update was a pain.
And the burned out buildings, yeah.
Yep. But other than that, it's like, I have a, like I said, I have a lot of dedicated individuals that share the belief that I'm going for, and it without them, a lot of people thank me a lot. It's not me that I just lead the raids and I maintain for the guys. It's those who wish to come and complete the goal, and those who keep coming back and wishing to see it happen and succeed. And I get a lot of comments too that like that, like the thanks should not all be to me. It should be to all those who go. And another thing that boots up is loot. Like I'm not a loot whore, as people would say. Like I lose loot that is an upgrade to me. I actually let people roll on it, non-mythicals or mythical individuals that allow. I try to be as fair as possible, trying to maintain the need before greed. And I get a lot of tells that like, Leo, you're maintaining this without the main tank. With the gear, the raid's gonna fail. It's like, I farm these zones a lot now. It's not a big deal for me. Yeah, I may feel like maybe like blah 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 and stuff like that. But whenever I'll be through the zone again, and I'll get hopefully next time. So I try, and that's another thing. I try to help individuals who are, I wouldn't say under equipped, but equipped to be able to raid to get better equipment.
Well, the bottom line is, and I will tell you that. When I decided I was going to try and go after my mythical, I had to upgrade my armor. I had to look at upgrading some of my spells as many as I could to masters. You can't go on these higher level raids for the mythical instances with treasured or master crafted stuff. You just can't. You're not going to live. You're going to be you're going to put a strain on the raid you're with. You need to start trying to get yourself the shard armor. It's not that hard. They have the solo instances now. It's a must. It's something you just got to sit down and do. Then you will be a better asset to whatever raid you come up to and say, hey, I'd like to come raiding with you. I have tier 2 shard armor. I've got X amount of master spells on me, you know, even if it's only a couple, it shows that you're trying. I don't know if Leo will agree with me at that, but it's easier on you guys as a whole on a raid if the person is better equipped and not coming to you with, well, you know,
the
master crafting,
yes,
or something.
The equipment, yes, is a necessity, but also being competent in your class and knowing how to play your class to excel at the most healing or DPSing or tanking, that which will make the success of the raid. And that's why on some of the rules, it may seem like I'm being unfair or being lenient, but I have to look as being the raid leader and being the leader of for the people. I need to guarantee the success of the raid. And if I have to, like, as long as some individuals get updates, yes, that's the important thing. At least some people who get individuals. But I made the fatal mistake once of letting under-equipped individuals for their level into the raid, and it was horrible. The raid just didn't go anywhere because the DPS wasn't there, and they were just pretty much dying when the mob would AoE.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. They're a liability rather than an asset.
Correct. And it's don't get me wrong, I also get my hate mail, and it, sometimes it questions me, is like what I stand for, and I try to get as many people as possible for their mythical updates, and it, sometimes with what they say to me, it really hurts what they say to me, and it's horrible. It's like, why are you saying these things when someone's trying to help as many people as possible? And then I get the over-worshippers, that really bugs me too. I get so many over-worshippers that it makes me feel bad, because I'm not looking for recognition, I'm not looking to boast and do this, I'm looking just to see, get individuals out there with their mythical updates, and hopefully they'll understand that with the mythical comes great responsibility, that you hold in that, you need to be able to hold up to that. And I get a lot of raid guilds, believe it or not, that have run their alts through, and the number one individual guild that has successfully contributed to me is Mayhem. Mayhem has been there nonstop once they, because Barbie and Minusa, they believe for what I stand for, and they help as much as possible with bringing guildies. TBA has also thrown individuals in to come and help, and I, with their support, they believe also the individual, and Soulforge. I got a lot of Soulforge that come and help and assist with it, either with their board or they're my friends that can make it. And Angel S is pretty much an officer for me. She helps out a lot too. Pouncer helps out. Nuka, Attica. These are all individuals that are hardcore for the people, and they're in raiding guilds, but they choose to come with me whenever they can, if their the raiding guild allows them to.
You're right.
And more and more regulars I get, the more knowledge of the raid will be easier for the few.
Yeah, because then you'll get a bunch of people who've been through and can just follow into place, and know what to do. You know, with very little guidance, except for a few that haven't been through it before or something. But you have the majority support of people who have been there, done that, and know what to do.
Pretty much, yes. And my main tank group, it's like pretty much it's the same healers all the time, so that they can keep me up. They know how I roll, and I know how they roll with the healing and whatnot. And then the off tank is pretty much the same people, usually the same time. And then my DPS and my mage group, because I run group 3 as scouts and group 4 as mages. And if I need to throw in some, depending on what fight, then I'm going to get it. And if I can sit people to get mythicals out. Once I get past Wing 1 for VP, it's pretty much I can throw any class in whatever I want for Wing 2 and Wing 3. It's that easy now that I got it down. It's just Druce now, I can get Druce down in one pull. Nexona, I'm still working on. Nexona is pretty much the shinies and the enchanters get into play, and Psylocke got that portion down locked now. So, and True Flight brings up a good point about the reason why I made for the people. It's those who don't wish to leave their family guild or the guild that they're in to join a raiding guild. And I myself, and it's like I've gotten many offers into raiding guilds that I strongly decline, because I am the founder and one of the original leaders of Knights of Kinos, who dinged level 80 yesterday.
There we go. And we need a ding for that.
All right, let's give him a quick ding before we continue there. Knights of Kinos, level 80.
Yay!
Go ahead. It's doing the thing.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you don't have a real strenuous raiding schedule. You're not requiring people to be there 3 or 4 times a week.
Nope, not whatsoever. It's a freedom basis, and like and with when I first formed the chat channel for the people, it's all one word. And then once that kept rolling, people rolling in, and then the mail, when I did do raids, I just had mail come in, and my mailbox would always overflow. I'm like, and then tells, why don't you make a website? I was like, because I don't know how to make a website, blah, 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 and all that. So I was like, all right, now my chat channel is getting over 100 people strong. I'm like, all right, this mailbox thing's not going to work anymore, so let's go make a website. And so now the website is still, most of it's there now, but it's as the word, as the raids and growth continues for the people, more features will be going in, just like my loot, non-official loot policy and my rating rules of how I run things. And I do a lot of polls. I do a lot of polls so far that, to dictate how people feel. I give people the option on how to decide on things. Like, well, right now I got going, it's like, how do you feel? How should loot be handled for the main tank? Like I said, I got by trying to make it fair, because I get a lot of people say, if you need it, Leo, take it. And a lot of people are like, need before greed and stuff like that. And I'm strongly partial to need before greed, keep that going. And I don't vote on these to make it fair. And this is for the people to decide. It's pretty much a democracy, like how things run. How do you want this to run? And I'll speak over with my council that I'm not going to disclose, and how it should be run. And if they're strong for a lot of them, they agree with what the people are saying. So that makes it easy. I haven't had to be like, all right, no, this doesn't sound right. We can't do it like this. And those who raiding guilds and those, you raid when you want to raid. And if the loot rules keep going the way, you have a chance of winning loot. You don't have to do a DKP system and stuff like that.
Your loot rules are very fair. I mean, what? It's a need before greed basis. Need rolls are going to be conducted on a random 1,000. Greed rolls are done on a random 100. You're entitled to one need roll. You can get one greed roll. I mean, it's, to me, it all seems pretty fair. It's in a way that, you know, if you've already gotten something, let somebody else try to get something. You know, if, you know, don't, you know, need it all. I mean, if you got one need, you know, let somebody else have something. I mean, it's simple.
Exactly.
It's good, it's simple, and most people would go with that.
Exactly. And with that process also, and like some of the raiding guilds, they've asked me that if you know of any certain classes or you can recommend into that are looking for a raiding guild, and I've sent some individuals to raiding guilds on my recommendations that they will do well and help out that raiding guild, and it gives them another show of how TSO would look like. And that's what I'm looking for. Those who know their job well, they get rewarded and they get set up. And I feel happy about that.
Well, I think you're doing a wonderful job. I'm just looking forward to your next VS, right?
Hopefully I can get done this week and pick up a VS, but right now I'm slacking on Nexona and VP. We got it close down yesterday. We got it down to 15% yesterday.
Yeah, you're still working on that one. You're still working on that one, Dragon.
Yeah, for Wing 1. It's crushing when you get the mob below 20% failed and get 17 fail at 15%. It's hard, but you got to keep optimistic and go and keep going. And that's me. I'm not a quitter unless I have to quit. And the last time I cleared VP is like, I was up till 2 o'clock in the morning getting people their mythical updates until I was like, alright guys, I gotta call it. I got work in 3 hours. I gotta get some sleep. And those who know me, I'm in ALS right now. So if any of my military members out there for the Air Force, if you know how ALS runs, yeah, it's hard. So, and It's rewarding. It's really rewarding seeing the smiles on people's faces, and them going out.
Well, I think everybody would like to say a thank you to you and your group, and those that are sticking with you and helping you do these things. It's appreciated from a lot of people on the AB server.
And I can hope to continue going for as long as possible. And I don't plan on quitting it. I do.
You better not, because we'll hunt you down and drag you back.
No, I try and get as many people as I can in for the updates, really much as possible. If I can sit the people, I'll sit them, and they have no problem sitting, because they know an individual is going to get their mythical update with me. And they keep coming back. And like what, and they also those who are regulars, they also bring their alts too to help out. So it makes a different variety. Just in case if I need a certain class, I can ask them, "Hey, bring in this alt," so that spot's filled.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in discussion with my guild leader to try and like open it up to those who wish to join a family guild and. Nice of Kinos, and him and I are discussing about it, but we try to keep it family oriented and those to be mature and stuff. And I'm trying to also just bring back the good old days of EverQuest 1 when people really did help people, and
yeah.
Instead of you're not in this guild, you can't do that. Yeah, we're not allowed to help you.
Yeah, which is a lot of the cases here. If you're not willing to give up the guild you're in and go join a raiding guild, you're not going to get anywhere.
Exactly. And there's a lot of, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of handy people out there that are helpful, caring, understanding, and do their job well as for their class, and have very nice, they have the top-end legendary gear. They can't get their mythicals, either due to time constraints, or time zones, or the rate, or the guild they're in. And it, those are the ones I really, 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 truly much try to get into the raids, because you did all this work, you deserve it very much. And those individuals are the ones who take it, they take it for the, how to say it, they don't take it for granted, but they... The opposite. They're more sincere about it when they get their mythical, instead of, alright, this is like my sixth alt and it's a mythical on me and it doesn't really mean much anymore.
Yeah.
So, those who, just like me, when on April 1st, if those who were all on when the server pretty much blew up for when I got my mythical and pretty much gave a speech for it, so and that's what was the foundation for the people, so.
Yep. Jethro, you got any questions for him?
No, not really. I mean, everything sounds great. I mean, personally, I'm not overly concerned about getting Jethro as mythical. I'm at this point, I would like to get my regular epic, though, but I just seem to be stuck on trying to get people together to go in and get my factions straightened out.
And for the people in that chat channel, there's a lot of individuals that will help out, that will come and to help out. If I'm available, that's the problem with me. I'm like not available at all if I'm running raids, and I kind of neglect my guild too because I'm running raids, and it's hard. I had to try and get my guildies in sometimes too, which they're not overly concerned with their mythicals either. It is a family guild. But what really, really, really bothers me the most is 24/7 of tells, "Hey, you doing VP today? I need to get my mythical," or "I'm this class and I need my this mythical update," or "when I'm in VP, I keep getting hounded for tells and they don't know the zone. Like they don't research the mob, or they just know that their update for this mob is. And when I say wing one, wing two is down, and they ask me, "Hey, is Hoshkar, you at Hoshkar yet?" I was like, "Yes, Hoshkar is dead." he was dead in Wing 2, I announced that. And it's I mean, I'm not trying to be biased or anything, but it's mostly my Asian individuals that have trouble with it, understanding what's going on. And I try to help as many people as possible. It just really gets annoying sometimes when trying to conduct a raid and get to them, because they get pissy with me when I don't respond back to them.
They have to understand you're busy. I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
This is from Angela Coria. Is there a raid that you just won't do? And if so, why?
TSO raids at the time. I'm not up to that level yet with the pickup raids, the individuals for pickup raids, because TSO, one, I'll have to learn TSO. Two, I need to see how what equipment we'll need for TSO. And three, I need to make sure the individuals are up to that level also. But other than that, I've tried to run every instance in 1 week. Yes, every instance in 1 week.
Nice.
Now, you'd pretty much go through them all to the point where you're locked out by Monday.
Yes. Right now, I just cleared Leviathan. I'm unlocked from Leviathan, but every raid except for VS that's still up, I'm locked into an instance. Shard of Hate, I'll probably not end up clearing Shard of Hate, which is the Maestro and Balzoa. It's just those two mobs are crucial on the time, and even myself, I have not downed those mobs at all. It's just really, really, you need the right setup. It's not time consuming, yes, but you need the right setup and the right equipment. But I have no problem. It's just only one raid I'll probably never dedicate that much time to. That's Veneral Sothir. 7 hours of Veneral Sothir was oy.
A lot.
Oh, that's nothing. I had a 7 hour corpse run in my last raid in EverQuest 1. Plane of Fear. We all wiped out. We ended up having to hire another guild to come in and get us.
Dang.
After 7 hours, we just gave up. And it's like, please help us! Yeah, because back in EQ1, of course, you know, you left a corpse. Everything you owned was on your friggin' corpse.
Yeah. So. But with the VS, for that question, I do run VS still as much as possible. And the individual that I do get for VS, they play their class well. It's just...
It's a hard...
The attention to detail. Not paying attention to your temperamental and your power. And I tell people, I'd rather you be over 50% and getting close to death instead of being under 50% and getting close to spawning an ad and wiping the raid. And don't get me wrong, sometimes I get frustrated too, and I try to maintain composure as the raid leader and show the optimism, but sometimes you gotta let go. You gotta put people in their place and let them know what the heck they're doing wrong.
If they don't, they will never learn.
Exactly.
Stealth Mode says, hey, at least it's not 55 plus hours in 1 week.
Yeah, the Stealth Mode, I was like pretty much at the 16 hour mark once that 7 hour, after that 7 hour day of VS.
Yeah, that was that 1 week you went after it every single night that I came in. I could see you guys doing it. Yep. You were not going to give up on that one.
Oh. But are there any more questions out there? I have no problem answering any more questions.
Yeah, if you have any questions, folks, just blur them out in the in-game chat channel. That's guk.ogr, the online gaming radio channel on the GUK server. We are monitoring that, or you can always send a tell to Elquinjena or Jethel or even Leonardo, and we're all on the Antonia Bale server. Sorry, I had to get in there somewhere. You guys are talking raiding, and I don't raid.
And that's another thing that I, once I've gotten into raiding, it's like another addiction. It's like I got that Evercrack all over again. It's like it's an excitement, and especially like I get I know it's gonna sound weird, but I get like a high off of leading pickup raids and just seeing people of random, classes, random personalities, and coming together for one common goal.
And I have another question for you from Angela Correa. I'm going to reword what she's saying, but out of all the raid zones that you've been in, I mean, most of the time everybody's got their graphics turned down and a bunch of other things, but have you ever entered one of the instances and just sort of went, wow, this is a really cool place?
VP. The first time in VP, I was like, wow. I mean, I run my game on a extreme quality, max performance, everything, everything off the notch, and wow, VP just glistens with graphical nature. It's amazing.
Wow. Eventually, I'll go see it. I have at least one advantage. I don't need
Leviathan.
Leviathan's done. Yay.
So you can zone into VP right now.
Yes, I can, but I don't see a reason why, because I still need one mob before I go.
Right.
Getting gear. I have no problem getting people in with their gear. I know Furies and Trovadors, Monks, Conjurers, Rangers, they get screwed on Venerable Sothir, and it sucks.
I know we do. He wasn't even that bad in EverQuest when we had to go after him. It was Rangers and Druids had to go get him. Mm-hmm. All we did was wait for the undead version and then go get him. I don't know. I even remember us, there was only three of us doing it, but we were, in our level 70s going back to do them?
Something like that, yeah.
You know, it's just but I don't know. Somebody in there hates us.
I got a question from Stadic. If I pronounce Stetic, his question is, what is rain like? I've never raided an EQ1 or 2. Coming from a pickup raid stance leader, it has its rewards and it has its cons. I enjoy raiding very much. It's, as I was saying, it's a new high for me. And I love seeing the people come together and down the mob. It's an amazing experience, especially because you're, like, if you're into EverQuest so hard, it's like, you start breathing hard, your heart starts going off, and you're focused, you're tuned in just to your screen and looking at what you need to, and making sure everything's going correctly, and once that mob's down, it's like a big relief, a sigh comes, just like when I downed VS, and when I got my mythical, like, I was so excited that I was actually lightheaded. I was lightheaded extremely, and I had to keep catching my breath, and I was squealing like a little girl when I downed VS, and when I got my mythical, I was like, wow. I was like, oh my god, I did it. And just like I said, I spammed holy crap 3 times.
You can say holy shit on this show. It's all right.
See, holy shit. There we go.
We're not going to get you into trouble. It's all right.
I said holy shit in three separate lines, and like BS down, and I was like, people said, oh, I get major congratulations and stuff, and people said, oh, there's been pickup raids, but and I've been like, yes, there's been pickup raids of BS, but they were guild sanctioned. This was not
a 90% of guild members, yes.
This was not a guild sanctioned raid. This was 23 other individuals coming together and downing a mob. And it's amazing, Static. If you do have time to ever to explore for the people and see what it's about and come on my raids and experience that joy, you will see and feel it. And Daemon of Unrest brings up a good point. That's another thing that really does make me mad, is when I do give instructions and make sure everyone clarifies on their responsibilities and they're aware of what needs to go on. And then when we get to that point and I call out, they're like, where am I supposed to go? What's going on? What do I have to do? And then we wipe. And then I get hostile again and have to go over the directions again with those individuals and make sure they restate. I have no problem wiping on the first time if things are going good. That gives training. I believe strongly in training and getting make sure the tactics work.
It's not that hard for anybody that wants to go raiding to go look up the steps or the mobs or the tactics of what it's going to take for these different mobs to go down, just so you know what's going to be happening. I did that with Protector's Realm. I read up all on Protector's Realm. And if I had not done that, I would never understood the whole storyline that's going on behind why you're in there and what's this other group doing in there and why you're fighting Doom Coil. And so you get to learn that too, as well as what's going to happen during a Doom Coil fight and what you need to do and what does the tank do. And you learn all of it, so you know ahead of time what's expected of you and what's going to happen in the raid. So you don't sit there and go, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, so I'll just go stand over here. It doesn't work. Yeah. You need to prepare yourself. You need to educate yourself on the raids that you're going to be going on.
And that's one of the requirements now that I also put in my rules, is to research the mob. And then the next step is wait for instructions for the strategy. Don't get me wrong, some people they go ahead and do that and some people who don't. That's why sometimes I have to go over it again and again. But those who do check it, it gives them the edge and understanding what the mob is over those who don't research the mob and go in blindly and wait for instructions.
Yeah, and on each raid, you know, different raid leaders do different things. So you need to listen to what they want to do and how they're going to handle it. But, you know, sort of the mechanics are still the same. Like on Paw Buster, some people fight him all the way down, some get him down to, 20%, put him over the grate, and then, you know, drop him down. But at least, you know, some of the things are going to happen, and that Paw Buster has a knockback effect, and that sort of thing.
And another funny story about Paw Buster, I killed Paw Buster over the weekend on Sunday. Sundays are mostly my finish up or deal with the easy raid zones, and we were doing Paw Buster and we were getting a point, and after the third hit the individual just went ahead and pulled the crate, and as I was getting Paw Buster into position, I fell in the crate as he pulled it and Paw Buster came with. I was like, holy shit. And people just started laughing because I warned him, like, make sure you're not standing over the crate or she'll fall and die. Look what happens. I fall and die with Paw Buster.
Oh, God. I didn't know actually players could fall down that.
Yeah. And they were like, Leo Burger.
Ooh. So what's it like down there?
It's a bunch of little Shredder fans twirling around.
Is it the fall that kills you or the fans that get you?
The fans kill you.
Oh. Well, remind me never to try and jump down there after a raid. I've always looked down there and went, I wonder. I didn't want to be that stupid.
people really think I'm biased towards paladins. Like, I don't invite paladins or SKs on raids because, hey, I want to be the only crusader. I want all the loot. It's like, bringing in another paladin or two into the raid, not the mythical update itself, is non-beneficial. It has serves no point.
And it goes back to having the certain types of classes on a raid to make sure it's successful.
Correct. And for all my paladins or all my other crusaders out there, in time you will get your mythical updates, but you just gotta give it time. I can only do so much with one time instance, that's it. Yes, paladins are neat. And all my friends joke with me, you need to go SK now. You'd be better in a tank as an SK than as a paladin. I was like, no, I love being a paladin. I have an SK already.
So once again, for you guys on AB or anybody else that likes to, you know, check out Leo's website, it's forthepeople.com. and this is all one word, forthepeople.guildlaunch.com, and I'll put it in the OGR channel one more time. So you can go there and join the forums, and, you know, you've got a calendar going so people can, you know, sign up, and you can get it, you know what's going on.
And that's another thing, is like, I do request that you do, if you do go to the website and you do join, for those on who are on AB or wish just to see what's going on, you don't need to leave your guild website to do so. That if you're on a guild launch for there, you can just go ahead and add to the guild and you'll get accepted. That's the neat feature I have going, so you can see what's going on. And the sign-ups, I don't require you to sign up, but it gives me an idea if you do sign up of who I have coming, so I can go ahead and look at it. But in a sense, it's weird how I do it. It's the mentality of Leo. If you sign up, I pretty much give you first preference over coming in, but if you're not there, when the raid does form, you lose your spot.
Can't beat that.
Because I'm now that I have raid schedules set, I'm on a time crisis. I expect the raid to start this time or earlier if I declare it, and hopefully get it done within the time allotted. If it gets done within the time allotted or earlier, I jump right to the next raid.
Then I want it all back.
So. But again, it is what this stands for the people, and that's you guys, for the people.
And we certainly do appreciate it. I mean, who knows, maybe one day, deep in the future, Jethel Silverwing will have
read up on it. It's really interesting.
His epic. But hey, who knows?
Joan Rivers, you're so right about
it. That was funny. That was a good one.
Perhaps, maybe. We'll see. Okay, well, we've been rapping here for an hour. Why don't we go ahead and take a music break? I do have a new song that we're releasing tonight. It was released a few days ago. That's all right. But we got a new song here just for the halflings. And I have to thank Morian on the Antonia Vale server for this. We were chatting one night, and she says to me, "Do you know the old song, Leader of the Pack?" And before she had a chance to say anything else, I blurted out, "Halflings love to snack." So here it is. We're going to take a little music break here. We'll be back in a little bit. It's the brand new song.
What do you want?
Sounds of swords clashing on shields, mass hysteria, it's mayhem out there.
That can mean one of two things.
What's that, sir?
Either there's a horde of rampaging orcs attacking the camp, or Jethel has released a new song!
Invited to a Shire fair. I told them that I bring some homemade cookies.
Ooh, yes, we see.
That's when I learned that
halflings love the snack.
I arrived and I put my cookie plate down.
He put it down.
Greeted some friends, and when I turned around, grab one. To find all was left was crumbs.
Yeah, really good.
I learned a lesson.
Halflings love the snack.
They gathered round, wiping mouths with hankies and sleeves.
What does he chew?
They gathered round, swapping halfling recipes. Drinking ale. Then someone showed up with pie.
Pie.
They swarmed in like locusts.
Halflings love the snack.
Oh, man.
Hey, and Walter, just thank you for coming over here today to the fair.
Oh, you're welcome.
Those cookies were very, very nice.
Oh, good. Glad you liked
them. Look at me. Didn't have to bring any pie, did you?
Yeah, I got one right here.
He's got pie!
Whoa, 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 look out! Look out!
No!
Oh! Oh!
You're so happy with nothing to do. Friends and good food. Outsiders don't understand beer, cakes, cookies, and polka bands. Don't come empty handed, halflings love to snack.
And we're back. We're back here with Leonardo, Raider extraordinaire, Raid leader extraordinaire, I should say. I suppose both would be correct. And now we move from raiding to other things. Other things, such as...
books.
Books. As we all know, Eloquent Genital loves books.
I do.
And... just to prove the point that she just loves books, she's going to make her own books.
Well, I have 350 books right now.
The 350 books you have in game weren't enough!
No!
No, she says. Damn you and your 350 books!
I want more.
I'm making more! And if I can't loot them, I'll get them myself, is what she says. Yes, and an upcoming... patch, we are going to be able to make our own books.
52. I'm not sure when it'll be on the test server, but Rothgar has put up a blog about the writable books. They're going to be scribe made at level 50 scribe. You will be able to do a little quest to get the scrolls in order to make them.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't really said, you know, how many... it's not based on characters, but it's based on the amount of content, I guess. I'm not sure. But there'll be a little slide bar at the bottom to tell you how much room you've got left.
Right. So if you're going to be writing a long story, you may want to figure out where you want to break it for the next volume.
Right.
And then, of course, once you're done, you'll actually be able to give them to people by making copies or even sell them on the broker.
Well, yeah, you just get another blank book, and you'll be able to make a copy of the book you own.
The Legion of Kithacor, erotic stories, now for sale.
Now, as the author, you can change or make additions or corrections or whatever to the book that you've penned. But when you make a copy of it, it's like a picture in time of what was in the book at that moment.
Right, so if you update your book, it's not going to update the copies.
No, it's not. But the next copy you make will have the updates in it. So.
Right.
And, what else? You know, I think all the books, if I remember right, they're supposed to be, Domino can shoot me, but I read that there is like 16 different book versions that are different than what is in the game now.
You mean graphical styles?
Yes. Now, I don't know if they're going to be using all those, but she has that many to pull from for this.
Okay.
So they won't be looking like anything we've got currently.
Right.
That sounds very interesting. Thinking of it now, I'd probably make raid books raid books for just of experience and of how things go and whatnot. And
mm-hmm.
Just share experience of my raid leading to build my raids and how I affect people.
Well, hell, I mean, what you could do in your case is say someone's like, hey, I want to go raiding with you. Okay, well, go into my house here, pick up this book, and you can make like a volume for each class, or at least each type of class anyway. And it's like, these are your responsibilities. Know it, learn it, do it.
Yeah, they can go in and read the books that you have right. and you point them out.
I mean, something that we're going to be doing in the Legion of Kithagore, I know, is we're going to be creating a little recruitment area in our library downstairs. So people come up to me and go, hey, I want to join your guild. All right. Well, some people seem to be having a problem going to the website and checking out our information. So I'll make a couple of volumes here. It's like, this is what we're about. These are our qualifications. And then come see me if you think that we're right for you.
And it's more of a role play type thing. You know, you bring a person in, you take them down to the recruitment area, and, you know.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to encourage our active role players in the guild. You know, we're kind of casual about it. Not every one of our members is a deep role player. But, you know, if you've got a story for your character, get it all written down and put it in a book, and we'll put it in the library. You know, the story of El Quinjena, the story of Latesh. You know, we'll make a shelving unit just for that. It'll be, you know, the guild lore. There we go.
I actually see, you know, popular writers popping up on different servers where you'll end up learning about... Domino says, currently there's one handcrafted and one mastercrafted book graphic in each 10 level... Each 10 level range. So 8 times 2 equals 16 combinations of appearance and color.
Hmm. So if you got a level
so
80,
each level,
a level 80 scribe doing a mastercrafted book, it's probably going to look freaking fantastic.
Yeah.
There we go. All right.
So, what was I saying?
Books.
Yeah.
Types of books. Gilded books.
No.
Erotic storybooks. We got to get Xanadi to write down some of her erotic stories.
I was saying that I could see, especially on the AB server, that, you know, different authors will become known, and you'll visit people and go, wow, that's a nice book. It's a great story. Who wrote this? And you find out who wrote it, and then, you know.
Well,
you go
I'm
to the
sure
author's
once.
House and you buy a copy directly from them. You can buy them on the broker too, but.
Yeah, they'll be sellable, yeah. And I'm sure once you examine them, it'll be, you know, such and such. And then I'm sure they're going to put authored by.
That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all going to be called the same, like a leather-bound tome. Yeah, but then it'll say who wrote it in the name of the book.
When you
look and examine it.
Mm-hmm.
You will not be able to read what's in the book. Now, on the forums, a lot of these guys are concerned about... Well, if I write a book and make a copy and sell it, you know, what's to stop somebody else from turning around and selling the book after they've read it? You know, that's the same sort of argument that crafters, carpenters have. You know, I make a bed and I sell it, and the person uses it and it puts it back on the broker and sells it for less than what they bought it for. You know, that's going to happen all over the place. And I think, really, those of us out there who collect books like me, and I know a bunch of other people, aren't going to turn around and sell these books. They're going to hang on to them, especially if they're good books. I mean, if I buy a book on the broker and it's a good story, I'm going to hang on to it. And, you know,
But then again,
there's all sorts of stuff that can happen. There could be book parties where people go each other's places to check out new books that they've gotten and new authors they should check out.
Well, I'll just put it this way. If you are concerned with someone taking your book, reading it, and then selling it again, don't put it for sale. Just give it to people you want to read it.
Yeah.
Simple as that. There you go.
So I'm excited about this. I can't
so
wait.
So am I. So, books coming.
I said, I think what may be happening for like books that like you don't want to be sold, maybe they'll probably implement something where it's a no trade, and lore and whatnot, so you can't sell it. The only way you can do it is junk it, and it doesn't go against you for if you display the book out.
But if you do it no trade, you can't sell it to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, when you get a book and you start writing in it, that's yours. And sure, somebody can come along and read it if you have it displayed in your house, but you will own the only copy, and you, as the author, are the only one that can make a copy of that book.
I like what Delmon just said in the chat channel there. The name of his book will be Bonehead, 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 How Not to Poke an Avatar by the Delmon.
They were talking about
oh,
that.
Oh, there
on
we
EP
go.
Too.
There we go. How about if they made each book attunable, and once it became attunable, it became no value, which means you couldn't sell it.
Who knows?
I don't know. Anyway.
I know that Rothgar is looking at changing the language on the books. I mean, if you know a language and you want to ride the book in death speak, okay, you can do that. And the only way another person can read that book is if they know the language of death speak too. I think it's death speak or shadow whisper.
What
did Latesh speak?
I seriously doubt that they're going to make the books in a specific language.
Yes, they can. If I want to write a book in Elvish, I can do that. And the only people who could read it is if they know Elvish too.
Was that actually in the forum?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay, well, maybe Domino can elaborate on that. But
I think that's a great idea. I like it. Because, some of the books now are already in languages, too. If you don't know the language, you can't read the book.
Okay, we are actually running short on time here, so let's go ahead and get right to Where in Norrath is Cheesy Little Buns. Go ahead and start up his music.
Yeah. Is he creeping around Freeport, Kellethan, or he knows? A stabby freak for Tama that everybody knows. Real thin inside your pack packs and run off with your cheese. Tell me where in Norrath is
Cheese and Little Buns.
Okay, it's time once again for Where in Norrath is Cheesy Nibble Buns. You ask me the questions, and we try to break it down. What continent is he on? What area is he in? And he is located somewhere that can be located on a map. And I'm going to let you guys know right now, you're playing for a prize. It's not just a rubber ducky anymore.
We got
crap from Sony. It's not crap either. We got stuff from Sony. I received the box of swag, and today's prize for Where in Norrath to Cheese and Nibble Buns will be a pack of Free Realms playing cards.
Now these
are not these combat game cards like Legends of Norrath or anything like that. They're actual playing cards with the Free Realms characters and stuff like that on them, you know, as the kings and queens and stuff like that. So we have Free Realm playing cards. And please, if you've already won, let someone else win. So let's go ahead and see what we got here. I'm going to start right off and say he is not in Lava Frost or Everstorm. They don't exist. So there you have it. Let's see. Santanillo wants to know if he's in water. He is not near water. He's not on a hill. Let's see, he is not in Free Realms. No, he is not in Free Realm. Let's see, Masu wants to know if Cheez-It is currently stuck in the Kino's hood vault after trying to steal bars of platinum from Kino's. No, he's not. Said it all in one breath. Nope, he's not stuck in the vault. He's not in the Thundering Steps. He's not on Sky Island. Can he see the sky? No, he cannot see the sky. Good question.
Is he in a cave?
I'm going to inform Elquin where he is, and this might be considered a cave. What do you think,
Elquin? That is not... There is caves there. It depends. Are you down in one of the caves?
Okay, he's not technically in a cave. He is underground, to answer Krillick's question. He is underground. Lyra wants to know if there are cubes. No, there are no cubes here. But he is underground, and he is in a place bigger than a bread box. I can't pronounce that name. Wants to know if he's in Fallen Gate. He's not in Fallen Gate. He is not with Alligators. He is not in Vermin Snye. And we got a winner. We have a winner. Fire Scales on the Antonia Bale server has guessed correctly. He is in Stormhold.
And I've taken a look at these. I've taken a look at these free realm playing cards. They're really cool. I mean, all the knights and the kings and stuff are different characters from free realms. I think you're really going to like this.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. Because of Cheez-It's level, I couldn't actually get him anywhere within Stormhold, but he is in Stormhold. He's right at the entrance. So, Lyra saying there are cubes in Stormhold. Are there cubes in Stormhold? I don't remember seeing cubes. I know there are goo. There's goo and stuff, but I don't remember seeing cubes.
There is cubes. If you go down and the first level, and if you know where to go to the lower one where the sewer is, if you keep going that way and make a right, and then go right again, you'll find cubes. There's green cubes. Yeah.
Oh,
there's two of them way down there. Yeah, there's two of them in there.
Well, God, it's been so long since I've been in here. I knew there were, you know, goo and stuff like that, but I was not sure about gelatinous cubes.
And speaking of Free Realms, Free Realms was supposed to launch today. Everybody's still waiting.
Everyone is still waiting for the launch of Free Realms. And Fire Scales, please send Jethel an in-game message with your mailing information, and I will go ahead and send you your Free Realms playing card deck along with a rubber ducky. Because I still have a mountain of rubber duckies, and I just want to get rid of them.
Did you do the dings in the guild?
No, we're going to do that now. Let's see. Okay. So, Valander. Valander has ding to... What? I know it's level 80, but what is he? I switched to Cheez-It since then, so I... And I'm not in the guild. What?
He was a level 80.
What class is he?
Hang on. I gotta scroll back too.
Yeah, Cheez-It's not in the guild.
Fury.
Valander is now a level 80 Fury. Congratulations to Valander.
And Silver Mace.
Congratulations, you guys. Keep up the good work.
And Silver Mace is what now? Level 30.
A level 30 Paladin.
Silver Mace, a level 30 Paladin. Congratulations. There's your day. Yeah, I'm gonna camp back to Jethel here. Actually, I should get Cheez-It out of here.
But anyway, Free Realms is still not up. I'm still checking it. It's still they're beating the squirrels into submission, I guess. For those of you who don't know, Free Realms is one of SOE's newest games. It's been in beta the last month, and the beta has ended, and they are releasing it. There's no big download. You just go to freerealms.com. There will be a small little executable file you download, you execute it, you go back to the website, because it's all web-driven, you know, browser-driven. And if you've got a station account, go ahead and log in with your station account. If not, just create a station account. Go ahead and pick your character, and off you go. For those of you that have station access, you will have an automatic membership to Free Realms. I've done a little thing on my blog. You can get to it from kithacore.org. There'll be a guide on thebrass.com coming soon. I don't know. I had a couple people read it, and they were,
flabbergasted.
Well, they were surprised I didn't have anything to comment about the lacking of it. You have to understand that Free Realms is not EverQuest 2. It is not WoW. It's not like any of the other MMOs out there. It is its own entity. It's family oriented. I don't know. You have to try it. It's fun. It's relaxing. It's not stressful. You could do anything you want in there as far as from you know, just playing the little games, to exploring, to taking on one of the professions. It's free. You might as well go try it out. I liked it.
All right.
Oh, and let's see what else. Podcast 59 is finally out. That was out last Friday, I believe. Narathian Timeless Heroes Contest ended. They were supposed to do an announcement on the 24th. Has anybody seen anything on that one?
Just to make it fair to everyone else, I did not apply myself to the contest. Because everyone knows that Jethel is the man. Or the elf, I should say. And I just didn't think it was fair that I would enter and win automatically. So.
True.
Yeah.
And then we've got a party, guys. AB Server and Luke and Delir, the 29th, which is tomorrow. Ours starting at 4:30 or 4 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And Luke and Delir starts at 5:15 Pacific Standard Time.
Oh, this sure. They put it when I'm at lunch.
This is good to celebrate the 10th anniversary of EverQuest. I would just be in game before that time and watch for server announcements, and there will probably be GMs come in and or customer service representatives come in and teleport people to the party, and I'll get you in.
Unfortunately, okay. I will be at work during this.
I know, but I'll get you in somehow. Okay.
Well, you can always have the boy log me in. As long as he doesn't rob me.
He won't rob you. So, I think that's about it, what I've got. That was all kind of shoved in real fast.
Alrighty. And we also have something new.
What new?
Well, as we mentioned at the beginning of the Cheez and Nibble Buns contest, we did get Box O Swag from Sony, and we did actually get some pretty interesting items.
Yes, we did.
We got some interesting items, and we are, some of the stuff, a few of the items, are too good to give away with a Where in Norath is Cheez and Nibble Buns contest.
You guys are going to have to work for some of these.
Right. So the first contest that we're going to be doing, because we do have a few good things, and we're going to spread them out a little bit. But the first contest we're going to be doing is we've mentioned from time to time that there were rumors going around of a possible EverQuest movie in the mix. I haven't heard anything about it since they made the initial announcement. I'm hoping it's going to kick ass. I'm really hoping it's going to kick ass. I'm sure it will kick ass, because if it doesn't, we're going to go down to Sony Pictures and just start, kicking some ass.
if they have a paladin, if they're doing a paladin role, you should volunteer me, so it'd be nice.
What is that? Something just went wah.
Sounds like a foghorn.
It's my wife.
It's your wife?
Your wife is a foghorn?
No, it's my cell phone vibrating, it's the wife calling me. You know how I said, the wife loves to call me, and I'm like always on the phone with the wife? Either on the webcam or on the phone. Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, they're in raids, that's when people know when I'm out of voice chat for a duration. Like, oh, he's talking with his wifey.
Yeah.
And and they love to give me crap about it. It's like, yeah, hey, I gotta deal with the wife.
Okay, so anyway, we've been, the EverQuest movie has been rumored and anticipated and blah, blah, blah. Well, we haven't heard anything about it yet, but you can put in your 2 cents. What do you think the movie is about? How do you think it's going to go down? You can create your own movie poster. That's right. Create your own EverQuest movie poster. What you think the movie's going to be about, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you can copy a current movie poster, a movie from the past, whatever. Make it EverQuest-based. Use screenshots from the game. Use Photoshop, use what's another program they can use? Use Paint for all I care. Microsoft Paint. As long as the pictures are in JPEG form when you email them to me, because a bitmap would just suck. Use whatever graphic editing program you're using, whatever, I don't care. Create a movie poster, as if it were the rumored EverQuest movie. We're going to run it starting now to 2 weeks from now on May 11th. We're just going to run it for 2 weeks. That way we can have a winner and, you know, not forget about it. Use in-game screenshots. Use any editing software that you want. As long as you can save it in JPEG. I do have a thread started on the kithacore.org. I can hear everything you're saying there. Anyway.
7 o'clock. I went to the gym afterwards. And then I went to bed right after. I'm all dirty and whatnot, sweaty. We were supposed to run 4 miles today instead of be ready.
Leonardo? Hello? Leonardo, we can hear your entire conversation. I think he may have muted us, but not
you might need to mute him. It might get kind of, you know, hot and heavy here, and I don't think everybody wants to hear that.
I don't think I can actually mute him without kicking him. But anyway, I tell you what, I'm going to lower the volume on you both here, actually, because it's the only thing I can do. But, talking about getting hot and sweaty. Anyway, create a movie poster. You can make it look like a current movie or a past movie, whatever, or create your own design. I don't care. The best ones, and you can email them to contest@kithacore.org. I do have a thread started right now at the forums at kithacore.org under Mysterious Ranger Productions and then the Jethro Silverwing Show contest movie poster. So you can reply to that thread, post a link to the image that you've made, or you can email it to contest@kithacore.org. Please, one submission per person. And we do have prizes. Third prize is going to be a Sony Online Entertainment podcast t-shirt.
Woohoo! They go up to 2X.
Yeah, they go up to 2X, so make sure to tell me what size you want. Second place will be a Sony Online podcast t-shirt. Again, tell me what size. And a EverQuest 2 Rise of Kunark insulated bottle cozy. Bottle cozy. It's an insulated thing, you know, it's like a personal cooler for a bottle. Looks like it was made for a beer bottle or something like that. I'm not sure, actually, if like a Coke bottle would fit into it. But anyway, there you have it. And
it's got a little hooky thing, so you can hook it to your belt.
Yep, you can hook it to your belt. It's got a little hooky thing. And first place in this contest, the Big Kahuna, a 90-day prepaid game card. 90 Ooh. Days free EverQuest.
That's nice.
Yep. So 90 days prepaid card for the first place. And who will judge these posters will be myself, El Quinjena. I will also be asking for people to take a look at it from the Sony Online support staff, Ash Lane, Brenlow, and those guys. I'll give them access to it and get their feedback, and we're gonna have those. Three prizes. So again, that's a T-shirt, and a cozy, a bottle cozy, and first place will be a 90-day prepaid game card.
Wow, that saved a lot of money for me.
Oh yeah,
there you go.
So there we go.
We had another ding in the guild.
Oh, who'd we have? Oh, yeah, I see that. Santania.
38 Illusionist.
Level 38 Illusionist. Congratulations, Santania. There's your ding. And you know what? Not that we really missed it, but I was unaware of it at the time. And I could not find the proper song for this in time for the show today. But Xanadai and True Flight celebrated their wedding anniversary this past weekend.
How many years?
I don't know. Xanadai, I know you're listening to the show. How many years is that now? I'm sure she'll answer while we're doing that.
Or True Will.
Or True Flight can, of course. He's on as Latesh, I believe, right now.
If it counts for anything, I'm going on 5 months here shortly.
Letesha's saying 11 years.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Congratulations. So what I wanted to do was get that song that they used on the Flintstones back quite a while ago when Fred and Wilma were having their anniversary. They had a little happy anniversary, little song there, but I couldn't find it in time. So what we'll do is, what the hell, we're going to bring in the birthday trolls. This is their wedding birthday. So birthday trolls, hit it!
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday! Happy birthday! Happy birthday to you!
Yeah, so congratulations, Sanadi and True Flight. 11 years married. My God, how does she stomach it? No,
I have an update about Free Realms.
Oh,
I feel sorry for the Free Realms staff.
Okay, what's going on?
Nobody's going home until it's up.
Oh, jeez. Smedley has spoken.
That's what I'm talking about. Go military on their asses.
I've been doing guest times. My first time for guessing, I thought it was going to be up at 146, which came and went. So I tried 346. That came and went. So I tried, 740 something or other. That's come and gone. So my new guess as to when Free Realms will be released today would be 9:44 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. That's a guess. We'll see how far that holds water. I feel sorry for those guys.
But Smedley has spoken. Or someone has spoken. Somebody has spoken. Maybe it was Brenlow. Well, Brenlow doesn't have anything to do with the game going live. But I know who it was. I know exactly who it was.
Who?
Remember when we had Cheez-It go in and do military training?
Yes.
It was that guy right there! He walked in and went, "Yeah, you listen up, maggots! I want this server up! I want it up pronto! None of you are going home! Do you understand me, Ratonga?"
Yes, sir!
What the hell's wrong with me? Our Lee Ermey is over there directing traffic. It's like, "You over there!" Yeah. Attention!
I'm used to that.
Well, you know, with this release, they had to purge the database of all the beta users because they're starting from clean slate. I mean, they've dumped the beta forums. So, you know, we had another ding in the guild.
Oh, we... Yep, sure did there. Krellick is now a level 39 conjurer. Congratulations to Krellick. There's your ding.
And plus achievement points.
And
a bunch of achievement points tonight.
Mm-hmm.
If I just get us to answer your question, it's Air Force.
Ah.
That's a good one.
The party branch of the military.
Not my job. I work the flight line.
Ooh. Has anybody ever sent you out for prop wash yet?
Prop rocks?
Prop wash.
Oh, heck yeah. I did a crap of F-16 washes and CV-22. Well, I'm working on the CV-22. We wash them all the time since they're such the new, just like the F-22, they're new to the Air Force. So every time we have meetings in the hangar and stuff like that, war banquets, we watch the CV-22s, bring them in for show and display. You know, like, man, we're doing all this BS work just so show that, oh, look, it's pretty.
No, I mean, has anybody ever sent you to get a bucket of prop wash?
Oh, yeah, they pulled that joke on me the first day I was there to work on the flight line.
I forgot, there's another one that they'll send you out after, too. There's prop wash, and I forgot, there was another one. A couple other ones.
Rotor wash.
Yeah.
they got me on the rotor wash, and I'm like, rotor wash, but by the time I got through it and was thinking of it, I was like, rotor wash. Yeah, there's no rotor wash. So they got me for a while. We've had guys that walked down the down to the C-130s and asked for rotor wash, and they got laughed at.
Nice. Okay, I'm going to change my recording settings just for a second here. I was just linked the happy anniversary song, but I'm going to have to do this, you know, instead of having it set to record just from line in, I'm going to have to have it set to record what I hear. That way people can hear what's going on the, you know, when I'm playing something from a website. So here we go, the happy anniversary song.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Pour a cheerful toast and fill it, happy anniversary. But be careful you don't spill it, happy anniversary. Oh! Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Fred, you remembered.
How could I ever forget the happiest day of my life?
Oh, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Okay, that's enough of that. Right, let me change my settings back here. Okay, we're back normal there, but hey, just wanted to do the happy anniversary thing for Zan and for Zan and True Flight, and thank you to Masul for linking that to me, and I'm gonna save it and I'll keep it on file for someone else's anniversary. I know we have someone coming up in July, but I'm just not sure who it is.
I don't know. Do you? I mean, we should, somebody close to us, I'm sure.
It's gotta be. The 4th rings a bell.
Yeah, I know, the 4th of July, something about that, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to wait till we get there.
I'm sure somebody will tell us something.
Yeah, I know.
So, congratulations, Ann and True Flight again. And we're coming up on the end of the show here, folks. Leo, do you have any mad props to give out, any gang signs
shout
to
outs.
Flash, any shout-outs?
As my good friend Pouncer would say, yo, drop them signs, FTP for life. But no, I would like to thank all the individuals. Thank you, Eloquent, Gina, and Jethro for inviting me to this. And those who make it possible for the people to exist and happen. And thank you very much for your support and dedication. And let's keep it rolling.
Right. Elvin, can you link in the channel one more time, the URL for his...
Sure, you got it. Let me snag it one more time.
For the people.
It's forthepeople.guildlaunch.com, and I'll throw it up there. Hang on.
No, I said Jethro, not Jethro. I have a speech impediment.
That's all
okay,
right.
I fit up there with you.
although
how many times it took me to get his name right.
Although while we were off the air, I did hear you say Quinos.
Who, me?
No, Leonardo. He said Quinos.
I thought I said Quinos.
You said Quinos. I know you did, but it's Quinos.
He's got a pick on us.
We're gonna have a stake in that contest that's going on. That, what the heck is it? Heroes of Norrath? What was it?
It was the Heroes of Norrath. Norrath's Timeless Hero Contest.
Oh, the Timeless Heroes, that's it. And I wish them both luck. May the
I'm
best
just more curious win. About who won. I don't, you know.
Hey, I have a stake in it, too. I made the graphic for both of you.
So. Yeah, I know. So... I'm just curious when they're going to announce it and who won. I'd like to see who won.
That would be nice. And another thing that a lot of people are trying to do for me is trying to make it like just to emphasis on Antonio and Bale for me. I've been getting tells from GMs and from the input of actually giving me a title for the successes of what's been going on with AB.
I think you deserve it. I mean, not very many people have been able to do what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking inputs for a suffix, a last name that would go for me to dedicate for you people.
Okay. Elgwyn, any shout-outs?
Oh, well, to all my farm town friends.
No!
I have the den mom now.
You've corrupted mom! No!
And it looks like I'm getting, Trisha?
Trista?
Yes.
Trista. All
right. Trista. She's coming in next. So, yes, if you really want something fun to do and come farm with us, you know, go to Facebook, look up Farm Town. We've got things growing on.
Growing on. Oh.
Growing on, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's. I have a plan. I'm going to corrupt everybody into Farm Town.
Apparently.
I've got a world there, I think.
Yeah, that's about it.
Now, right after my ending shtick here. But wait a minute, that isn't what I wanted. Right after my ending shtick, I'm going to be playing a song that Krellick had linked to me because he wanted Santania to have it for a ringtone or something like that. And it's, I think it's very funny. Of course, you mentioned it earlier in the show, the Nom 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 video.
Yes, that's a cute video. That and that other one I showed you today was like so cool. It gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, check out kithagore.org. I got two videos on the news page right now. One of them is the cutest of the cute Nom 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 videos with cute little rodents and hamsters and stuff. The other one is, I guess what they did was they just started with a bass track and a bass percussion track and went all around the world and had different street performers and unknown artists and stuff like that.
The group is called playforchange.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
that.
Okay.
But they went ahead and they did Stand By Me. And it's from all over the world, and they did a fantastic freaking job on it. I mean, some people sang, some people played instruments, and it was literally a band from around the world. They did such a great job. Now, go ahead and plug anything else in there that I didn't mention.
Well, the site's called Play for Change, and the guy was a street musician anyway, and he came up with this idea to start making recordings of people playing. I mean, the guy that's in who does this, that starts out the song "Stand By Me," you could hear this guy singing it from streets away, you know, blocks away. And then him and his little group, you know, took it around, like you said, to different parts of the country, and they found other street musicians that were really good. And just using a laptop and some microphones, they just did it right on the spot, out in the open. And recorded these guys as they listened to the other previous person singing or doing whatever, and they added their part to the tracks. I mean, this thing was so good, it was giving me goosebumps.
Yeah, it's very good.
They've got like maybe three or four other songs that they've done. You know, if you follow the links, you'll be able to get to their main page, but I believe their main page was playforchange.com. And the idea is that
I have
to
the link on our
peace.
New site.
Doing music to promote peace and love in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And Starleaf just ding 39 dirge.
Yeah, I was just about to say that when you. Yeah. So Starleaf, congratulations, level 39 dirge. There's your ding. And just a reminder, the Festival of Unity starts in a few days. No, I'm sorry, that starts next month, doesn't it? Shoot, now I forgot.
June.
No, May.
Next month is May.
May 31st through June 6th.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I got my months confused, actually. I thought it was starting in a couple days, but no. So before the Festival of Unity, I'm going to try to get at least one more of the organizers here. But anyway, we're going to go ahead and shut down for the night here. So, yep, right after my little ending shtick here, we're going to have the Nom 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 song. Just to make Santania giggle. Just to make her giggle. All right, folks. Thanks for tuning in to the Jeff the Silver Wing Show for Tuesday, the 28th of April, 2009. Good night.
Well, all right, that's it for this week's episode of the Gentle Silverwing Show. I'm your host, Gentle Silverwing.
I'm the Drunken Dwarf!
And I'm Cheesy Nibblebuns!
Online Gaming Radio is a proud member of the ZAM Network. Our producer is D Pockets. Our technical advisor is Spike Link Death. Facts and intelligence brought to us by the Grassy Knoll. Our spiritual advisor is Al Kilholic. Sensitivity seminars by Mandy Feldersnatch. And noted contributions by Three Badgers, Two Giant Rats, a 4-pound jar of jelly beans, package of expired Twinkies, and a small rock.
Yay, rock!
Be sure to catch our show every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, at some ungodly hour in the UK. So, for the Drunken Dwarf, Cheez-It, and my love, El Quinjena, keep your arrows in the air and your feet on the ground.
Nom, 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 nom. Nom 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 nom.
Lady Godiva was a freedom rider. She didn't care if the whole world looked. Joan of Arc with the Lord to guide her. She was a sister who really could. Isadora was the first bra burner, and you're glad she showed up. The country was falling apart. Betsy Ross got it all sewed up.
And then there's Maud.
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 That uncompromising, enterprising, anything.